At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. I'm Ashley, here as always with my incredible co-host, Gian, here for an audio-only episode to not only recap Inter Miami and Messi's first playoff win last weekend, but to preview tomorrow's Game 2 match against Atlanta United. I don't know why I said Atlanta FC, Atlanta United. And yeah, we're just really excited about it. So Gian, how are you? Happy Friday. How are we feeling?
Happy Friday. Feeling great. Feeling excited. Fun times ahead for us. Fun times. A lot of stuff going on. And, you know, anytime we can get on here and talk to all our great followers and our Inter Miami fans, it's always a great time. So I'm excited just to get into it and talk some Inter.
I totally agree. Speaking of, I think that's a really good place to start. Speaking of having fun. Wow, I think that guys, it's going to be one of those episodes. Saturday's match, the first playoff match at Inter Miami at Chase Stadium. What a fun time and atmosphere. We were in the press box, and although, you know, you said you had your incredible experience in the fan section last time, even for the press box, the energy in the stadium was contagious. Everyone was on the edge of their seat for the whole 90 minutes. And although there was a little bit of a bummer at the end, which we're going to obviously mention and give a shout out to Ian Frey, the game was just had you on the edge of your seat the whole time. And just the emotions in the stadium, like what a first playoff game for Inter Miami. It totally delivered.
Yeah, agreed. I think it was, a lot of a bummer over there at the end. Obviously, Ian Frey didn't really allow the team to celebrate like they wanted to celebrate. Obviously, Tata Martino was also very, bummed out, as we saw in that post-game conference, and we were told that it was the same in the locker room with the guys not really being able to celebrate like they'd like to, really tough. But at the same time, it was a big moment for Inter Miami to win that game and to basically put in half of what they need to do to make sure they get into the next round with this game upcoming in Atlanta. So I had a ton of fun. Like you mentioned it, man, I had a ton of fun in the supporter section, but I still also had a ton of fun in the press box, being able to be with, all of our colleagues in there and just being able to comment amongst ourselves there. And anytime, you know, you and I, we're always there in the press box sitting remotely close to each other, and we're able to talk to and comment about the craziness that we see on the field. So that's always a blast for us. But look, I think there's quite a few things that we can dive into this game that we saw for Inter Miami. I think that obviously it was a win, but there were some things there were some challenges presented along the way that we can discuss. Maybe we thought we were going to see a bit more, a few more goals. There was somebody that was really important for Atlanta there that basically made it a very, very, what would you say, that gave them a lot more life.
Oh my God, you mean their incredible goalkeeper?
Yeah, their incredible goalkeeper, Gusan, really gave them life into this in the end. Because look, this game, Ash, what do you think? Like, if it wasn't for Gusan, what do you think the score might have been? Like, realistically?
Like 4-2?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Inter Miami would have scored probably 3 unanswered goals before Atlanta got one back. And then, you know, obviously take your foot off the gas a little bit. I think we'd score another, and then I think we'd like let them score another, you know, bringing in some reserves and taking your foot off the gas for that last 20 minutes is how I thought of it. I mean, in the first 30 minutes, we should have had 3 goals. And I mean, you know, yeah, to your point, like Messi couldn't score if his life depended on it, which is something that you never say about Lionel Messi. But it was just one of those nights where he himself would say he should have had 3-4 goals on his own. Forget the one set up for other teammates. And just Guzan was just all over it and just, you know, was like basically playing like an octopus, had 8 hands everywhere and just, totally kept Atlanta in the game.
Yeah, it was incredible, really, just to see how many shots he was getting out. And I think for Tata and for this team, it's got to be interesting because they're looking at this game and saying we did all the right things, basically. Yeah. From an offensive standpoint, we were getting ourselves, I think, into really good positions to score. They were getting the shots. I think towards the end of it, I think that Guzan had like 8 stops like that were on target. Like he did very well for them. So it's like, okay, what do we do going into Atlanta? Do we need to do anything different? Because look, this Atlanta team, at least going into these last few games before the playoffs, like I was looking at some of these games and they were doing very well defensively. Like they're a team that likes to play a low block. They're a team that likes to put a lot of guys in that back line, sometimes even 6 players in that back line. So it was going to be tough for Inter Miami to get in there and get good shots, and they did that. So I think that was successful for the team. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking about this game as we were going through it and saying, man, like, you know, they need to find, I guess, other ways to try to score. With this goalkeeper, maybe you bring in a guy like Matias Rojas that can add that extra dynamic of being able to shoot from outside the box. And right when I was thinking that, then Jordi Alba scores a banger.
Oh, like, my God. A golazo. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
So that was an incredible goal. So I was like, okay, perfect. But this, I think that if you're Tata Martino, you're like, okay, look, let's just – it's just part of the game. The goalkeeper was at playing all-star level. Is this goalkeeper going to have this exact same type of game going into Atlanta? Like, I don't know if that's feasible. I don't think that's going to happen. So if I'm Tata, I'm like, let me go in and do the same thing I did, which was successful in the sense of we found the opportunities to score. One thing I guess, Ash, like, what do you think about how Busquets going into that back line? Was that something for you that was maybe surprising, or did you expect that? Because we've seen that before, but more so out of like necessity, right? Because of injuries and that sort of thing. I thought that, wow, this team being this healthy and having Busquets in that back line, I thought that was interesting. And then we go into the post game, and then Tata Martino says, you know, I don't like to play 2 like defensive mids at the same time. So for me to be able to play Yannick Bright, which shows how much confidence he has that he wanted to play Yannick Bright in this game. He thought it was very important to have him on the field, that he was willing to put Busquets into that back line so that he can have Yannick Bright in the midfield. He was very adamant about that. He says, you guys know I don't like to play 2 defensive midfields. That's why I put Busquets in that back line. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that was a good decision? Was that interesting, surprising at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good point and a good thing to bring up because, you know, to start with, I was sitting next to, besides the fact that you were in front of me in the press box, I was sitting next to one of our colleagues and really good friends, Xavier Guerrero Javi, who is a writer for Lemon City and gets to go to the games and just someone we've been close with. We've had him on the show before, always talking about lots of things with him involving the team, including U.S. men's national team. So shout out to Javi. But, you know, we said when we saw the lineup, like, really happy that Bright's in. Where do we think Busquets is going to go? And I said, I think Busquets is going to play forward. And I think because of Yannick Bright, Tata was thinking that Yannick Bright would be able to, like, kind of be part of that back, you know, be able to do that defensive duty and let Busquets kind of be more forward and thinking more about playmaking. But in the end, it was reversed, and he immediately had Busquets in as a center back role. And we got to ask Tata about that after. And to be honest with you, I was surprised at first, but I actually think it was a really brilliant move by Tata because from minute 1, Atlanta United scored. They had a good opportunity there. I would also say that by that point of the game, we should have had probably 3 goals by now, and on any other day, we would. I think the game plan was absolutely sound. And from minute 1, Busquets brings that sense of calm organization and championship mentality to the back line, keeping people's nerves in check. I mean, Tomas Aviles, who, yes, he was part of the reason why they scored the goal, and he hasn't been playing, you know, in our opinion, probably to the level he could play. He was way more calm, way more, you know, didn't make those big errors, didn't get a yellow card, you know, did different things. Same with Chelo. Like, everyone was just organized. The holes were filled, and Bright was all over the place. And I thought in the end it was actually a great move. And to your point earlier, you know, I don't think much is going to change for this game on for this game tomorrow. I think maybe you'll see, you may see some earlier subs. Like, I think maybe we'll see Matias Rojas come in. I think maybe we'll see Robert Taylor come in. Maybe Noah Allen. I don't think, though, and I mean those as subs. I don't mean those as changes in the starting lineup. I think the starting lineup's staying exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say that I thought it was, like, also kind of genius for Tata to be able to set that up and have he played basically like a 3-5-2 or something along those lines, where he had just the, you know, Martinez, Aviles, and Busquets in the back. And the reason I thought that was really good is, obviously, when you allow for Yannick Bright to be in that midfield, that I think is just pivotal from a defensive standpoint to have him as a disruptor and be able to create all this space. But also, like, look at who was the guy on Atlanta that has given Inter Miami the most trouble over the last few games, that has basically scored on us every single game over, I think, like, the last three games. He had one goal against us in the previous game before this. He had two goals against us the game before, and that's Saba, the number nine for Atlanta. And what was different in this game was, because that I was able to play that back line of three, and he basically had Jordi Alba and Chelo Wenga almost like as wingers.
Yeah.
You're playing really, really high up. I don't think there were many times where Alba was coming down to be part of that defense. It was basically always as a winger up top. And that really forced Saba to play a lot more defensive and to be stuck basically the entire time. He was stuck having to cover Jordi Alba. So I think that was a way to also, like, not only help on offense for us, but also kind of put pressure on them to not have the offensive firepower that they would like to have against us. Because, and if I'm not mistaken, the one goal that got scored on us was by, who was it by? Wasn't it Saba, actually? Nah.
No.
Who was it? Yeah, it was Saba. Saba scored on us in minute 39.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, but that was also, it was in, to be fair to him, it was a great.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it was the very few opportunities that Saba wasn't defending and trying to help with Jordi Alba. I think it was the first time, because up to 39 minutes, he hadn't been really able to be part of the offense. For the first time, he actually doesn't have to worry about Jordi. He comes up and he scores. So to that point, like, I think that was a really good move by Tata Martino moving forward, and I think we'll probably see it in the next game as well. But one of the things I think that we also need to bring attention to is, today in practice, Busquets wasn't out on the field. So there's some speculation going into the game tomorrow, like, is he going to be available? And if he's not available, then what happens in the defense? What happens in the midfield? Because of the fact that, again, you just count on him so much. Like, I don't know what you think about that. Like, what can we maybe see if he does, in fact, not play tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously surprised everyone that yesterday and today he wasn't in training. He says he has an illness, you know. I'll tell you this, unless it's a really, really bad illness, and maybe it is, and I, you know, wish him nothing but the best, I would be very surprised if he's not playing tomorrow. I'd be very surprised. But if he isn't, you know, you never know, like, if he has the flu, if he has COVID, there's some things that are obviously out of his control. If they don't do that, then I think you're gonna, you know, go probably have to go back to a 4-3-3. And I think you'll see, you know, and a big call Tata made was not starting Julian Gressel and starting Yannick Bright instead. And, you know, it's something that we obviously, as commentators and as, you know, analyzers of the team and the game, we have said that tactically and just because of the balance of the team, knowing that Messi and Suarez don't really play that much defensively, you need to have a bit of a stronger defensive core and worry less about the playmaking and worry more about filling those midfield gaps. And
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Yannick Bright does that. Yeah. And Tata had to make a tough call, and he had to bench Gressel, who's been, you know, available for him all year, someone who he coached in Atlanta, when they won the MLS Cup. And it's it was a difficult choice, but I think it's the right choice. And look, tomorrow, if it ends up Busquets isn't available, then I think you'll see, like I said, that 4-3-3, and you'll see Gressel back in the midfield. I'm hoping we get to see what we've seen in the past, because, like, to your point and what we've been saying, the balance worked really well, and it made it very difficult for Atlanta to generate offense and really strong, you know, pieces of possession. And again, like, Messi is one of obviously the most prolific scorers in the history of the game, obviously the best to ever play the game. You expect him, even though his, you know, his standards for himself and what we expect is so freaking high, you probably expect a couple of more of those shots to go in, and don't think that you're going to see the same thing you see last week. You think you're going to see someone a little bit more ruthless in front of goal. Same for Suarez. So I'm hoping we don't see too much of a change there. I think the atmosphere is going to be amazing. It's sold out. It's in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 70,000. It's going to be really cool. And it is going to be on turf, which is something that, you know, knock on wood, is good. But I think Inter Miami can not only win and get themselves into round two, but I think they can honestly do it in dominating fashion. I think that more of those shots go in the second time around, and they, although a score line was close, I think Inter Miami dominated the game, and they knew they dominated and that they were the superior opponent, you know? And I think that carries.
Yeah, 100% they dominated that game. I mean, visually you could tell that they dominated. Then when you look at the stats, you're talking about 11 shots on goal versus 2 from Atlanta, 19 shots total versus 6, 66 possession to 34. Like, you know, and then obviously then is
a meaningful possession too. Like, a lot of those were goal scoring chances. Like, it wasn't just kicking the ball around. Yeah. You thought they were going to score almost every three or four minutes.
And the final tally at the end of the day, the final tally, and which basically tells the story of that entire match, is 9 saves for Atlanta versus 1 for Miami. So that basically shows you how much of a lopsided game offensively it was. And the fact that if you want this to be even remotely close in Atlanta, you're going to need a stellar, once in a lifetime, or twice rather in a lifetime now, performance from Busan. So I think that the team, just again going into Atlanta, it says that's probably not going to happen again, and I think they're probably going to want to make sure they take care of business as soon as possible, so that they can maybe get some of their guys off of that synthetic field, so that they don't run the risk of injuries or anything like that, right? And I think they have that added what would you say? Like, they have that chip where they want to get this done for Ian Frey, right?
It's so funny. I was just about to bring it up. Speaking of injuries, let's take a minute to talk about Ian Frey. That poor kid. First of all, thank God it's not another ACL tear. The minute he came into the game, and it's so funny. I mean, it's not funny. It's ironic. It's like, you know, it shows just how brutal sports are, that, you know, I remember we all looked at each other, you, me, and Javi, and we said, wow, taking out Tomas Aviles this early in the game, which was at the time, what, like 75 minutes, 73 minutes, like earlier than he normally would come out, comes out of the game. They put in Ian Frey, who we all love and who's just an absolute superstar this year. you know, who me and Javi were talking about, and we're like, God, he could be a starting center back for the U.S. men's national team in 2 years if he was able to play consistently. He goes down in what, the 83rd minute, yeah. I think, and non-contact, in total pain, covers his face, and, you know, in the press box, everyone just goes, oh my God, not again. This poor kid, not another ACL. Looks like it was a meniscus injury. And although it's season ending, it's not an ACL, and he will hopefully be back early next year. I would say, you know, it's just really rotten luck for him because he is so freaking talented. Remember his first two games back this year, he scored headers in both of those games. Absolute rock star. And you know, Tata was being so methodical with bringing him back slowly but surely over these last few months, and knowing how talented he was, putting him in big situation games.
Everybody wanted him to start, and there's a reason. Why he wasn't.
and so, you know, prayers to him. He's such a good kid. Thank you. Know we're hoping, like they said, it's not as bad as they feared. It's something he'll be able to come back from far sooner than normal with the ACL, and just hope to God the kid stays healthy. But yeah, you felt it in the stadium. You felt it in the press box. You felt it online. You saw all of those tweets and messages going out going, oh my God, not Ian Fray. So just wishing him the best and hoping, like you said, the team, you know, has him on their back and shows out.
Yeah, definitely a tough one. And we were also saying, as soon as he went down and he, you know, covered his face, and we can only imagine him probably shedding a few tears. We said it. He knows, like, you know your body, you know yourself. And he knew that he had a significant injury. And it was just really tough for all of us to watch, the fans and everybody. Somebody that we've grown to like and so much, somebody that's been through so much. And I mean, you can only hope that moving forward, somehow something is done differently for him, whether it's nutrition, whether it's the type of physical therapy. I don't know. We just need them to figure out something that's going to strengthen him, put him in a better place and at less risk of injury. As I mentioned previously, while you were, you know, talking about Ian, we know how good he is. We've had flashes of what his potential is, and especially in those games early on where he scored these amazing goals. So he not only brought the defense, but he brought the offense. And many of us were like, man, he needs to be starting. He needs to be starting. And we knew that just Tata's just been taking care of him. The team has been taking care of him. So I think that that's also, like, it's just so tough for everybody. Like we've been doing our best to put him in a position to succeed. We didn't want to rush him. And despite all that, like, this happens, you just feel awful for the situation. You feel awful for him, for his family, for the team as a whole. And all you can do is just hope that something is done differently for him. And so that he's ready. And as you briefly said there, you know, it could have been a lot worse. We all feared ACL. A source told us that it was best case scenario at the end of the day for what everybody was thinking on the team, and that he'll be back early next season, hopefully for the start of the season, we'll see. So, yeah. Tomorrow, we saw this the other, unfortunately, you know, this isn't the first time, but we saw how much the team supported him last time. We saw that they've dedicated wins to him. And I think tomorrow is going to be no different. If, you know, they win, hopefully, I'm pretty sure that this win and this move on to the next round is going to be dedicated to this young man that definitely deserves everybody's support.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, look, we say it, like, if Ian Fray had been healthy over these last 3 years, he would have been in Europe by now. He's that good. He's that naturally talented and good. He's so young, you know, there's still so much opportunity and chance, and we hope he keeps taking them. I think they will be playing for him tomorrow. And like I said, I think that, you know, Busquets, we'll see. If there's no Busquets, I think you may see it obviously change in personnel, change in the lineup, the formation. Hopefully not. Hopefully they're just being extra cautious with him. He's, you know, getting the IVs, the fluids, and he's able to play tomorrow. If he thinks he can, he will, you know. So we'll see. And we cannot wait to watch it. We think the atmosphere is going to be awesome. Inter Miami definitely have it in them to win. You see Luis Suarez, who's absolute nails, will score in any game, any scenario. If he needs to score, he'll do it. Lionel Messi, same thing. You know those shots will go in any other day. And he looked good. They got to keep pushing. We will be doing a post-game live stream tomorrow after the game because it's, you know, one of those few games where it's not only a super meaningful game, obviously, but it's an away game and it's at a reasonable time. So we will be doing a post-game live stream where we can talk even more, and hopefully we'll be talking about an Inter Miami win, a dominant performance, and all that good stuff. I would say let us know not only your score predictions, let us know who you think is going to play, what your thoughts are on the lineup, what you want to see happen.
Yep. Agreed. So I think that I am very, very, very excited because...
Remember what you said last time we went to Atlanta, though. Just remember that.
Well, yeah, that's true as well. You know what? I have actually given up on a lot of the predicting that I do. I'm really right.
Jan Tradamas had an early retirement.
It was a very early retirement that one time that I almost, I almost played the lottery if I would have gone that fourth, fourth result in a row. So I've kind of taken a step back from that. And I'll wait on what you think and what others think. But I'll still give my predictions in that.
Just want me to go first is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically.
Got and then it, I'll just, got it.
Follow up on that. But
yeah. Okay, I'll go first. I think it, although I think we are going to win, and I think, you know, tactically, personnel wise, we will continue to be dominant and we will continue to get a result. Being at a different stadium, having the emotions from the Ian Frey match, all those things all come into effect. I think it'll be a little bit tight, but I think Inter Miami will win 3-1.
3-1.
Mm-hmm. I think we will score early. I think we will keep the pressure, but I also think, you know, because of the fact that we are keeping the pressure and there is, you know, that subject of soreness in the back, sometimes, and they have obviously some playmakers on their end too, and Guzan will keep them in the game, all of those things combined, I think they will get a goal, but I think we will score at least two more than them.
I think that it's going to be 4-2 is what I think.
Oh, who wins?
Obviously, Inter Miami. That's a very important part, though. I should have probably mentioned that. But yeah, Inter Miami is going to win 4-2. I think that this team is going to put up a fight, especially being in front of their home crowd. And I think that Inter Miami will continue to be the team that's in possession, the team that's getting all the opportunities to shoot on goal. I think that Guzan will still play well, but I don't expect him to have the same type of performance he had in Miami. If he does, then he needs to go play in the Premier League or somewhere, because that was just incredible. So I don't expect him to have that type of performance. And I think, again, Miami should get the goals that they didn't get here in Miami. And then, as Miami defense always is, I think that they'll have that one lapse where, you know, there's maybe that they don't concentrate for 15 seconds, and that's the opportunity that Atlanta gets. Plus, give them an extra one for being at home. That's the two. So I'm going 4-2 on this one. But here's what I think. I think Atlanta scores early on, and then I think they make it a little interesting, and then Miami just pulls away. I've seen quite a few games like that, so I think it'll probably be the same this time around. But at the end of the day, I think we'll all be happy as fans. I think we'll all be happy as commentators and reporters with this team, and I'm just looking forward to who's next. There's a specific team I want to face in the next round, so I'll also be kind of score watching on that end.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I think this is only the beginning. We're hopefully going to be at the beginning of a long, exciting playoff run, obviously led by Lionel Messi, who just really quickly obviously had this exclusive interview with Fabrizio Romano and said a lot of what we kind of have expected and known, which is that, one, he's very happy here. Two, he really likes the environment of MLS. He likes the competition. The levels are higher than he expected. And just, you know, he loves the team and being able to grow and help the team grow. So hopefully all, you know, sticking with the schedule, and as long as he stays healthy and enjoying the game, will hopefully keep him to the 2026 World Cup, which means we get at least, you know, another two seasons with him, which is what we're all hoping for. But we don't want the season to end anytime soon. So vamos into Miami. We'll watch them tomorrow. Hopefully, you know, close out the series and get us to that next round of the playoffs and even closer to the Supporters Shield, or not the MLS Cup. Oh my God, how many errors have I had in this episode, honestly?
No, I think that you're just thinking ahead. You're thinking about next season, so that's great.
I'm thinking ahead, exactly. Yeah. Bueno. thank you for watching this episode of Messi & Co. Make sure to have our notifications on for both YouTube and Twitter, because like I said, not only will we be live tweeting the game, giving our commentary, giving our latest Inter Miami news tomorrow, but we will be going live post-game as soon as the game's over for instant reaction and conversation. And we're really excited to do so. So, yeah, thank you for listening to Messi & Co. I'm Ashley. That is Gian. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Hasta mañana.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.